Hi everyone, and thank you for joining me today. I'm Juana, I'm a UX designer working at Grafana Labs, and today we are going to talk about accessibility, and more specifically, web accessibility. When we discuss about it, not everyone knows what it means or why they should actually care. So computer accessibility refers to the accessibility of a computer system by all people, regardless if they have a disability type or severity of impairment. When we say disability type, there are several of them. You might know about vision ones, where it have color blindness, for example, mobility, auditory, neurological, cognitive, medical, and psychological. 1 billion people, or 15% of the world's population, experience some sort of disability. And at least 10% of the adult population has a vision impairment, and the numbers are actually growing with somebody's age. So it's quite important when you think of these numbers, consider your user base and actually how many people are affected. Why you should care even more when it comes to what you're currently working on, if you're having an interface of some sort, is what you actually get. If you fix your accessibility issues, you get a tool or an app that is easier to use by everyone in general. And that it also leads to a bigger user or contributor base as more people can start using your project. You get advantage over your competitors and even cater for clients whose businesses have mandatory accessibility requirements for the software that they use. And that, for example, includes the federal agency. So even more, you can potentially expose areas in the UI or user flow that need more improvement. And in the end, it's 2021, right? We should not only talk about being more inclusive, but also act on it. Right, so where you can actually start? You can start by learning about accessibility. If there is one place I would recommend you to start, it's called LI Project, and you'll have all the great resources in there and an awesome checklist that you can use. Go start with whatever accessibility is and go from there. Do not try to read everything at once. Next, as it comes to tools, what we can use as designers and developer as well. For designers, we have a few tools that we can add as plugins to our current programs that we mostly use, like Figma, Sketch, or Adobe XD. So we have color contrast checkers on one hand and color blindness simulators on the other hand. Unfortunately, these are quite static, right? You can only check what's a picture in the end. But things do improve as soon as we move to browsers. So if you already have a working app or a working website, it becomes a lot easier to see your current state of things. So for browsers, you have on one hand, Firefox accessibility tool, and on the other hand, Google Lighthouse, which also works on Opera very well. Firefox is quite a fantastic tool, I would say. It features a color blindness simulator, a color contrast checker. They have audit for contrast, keyboard navigation, and text label issues. And it can also show you tabs for order of navigation. I have this in the screenshot. You can inspect a specific element, and they will tell you if the color contrast is okay, or you can go for the entire page at once. There are other tools like browser extensions. Me as a designer, I use very often Wave, which is an evaluation tool. And I prefer this one because it will highlight all the elements in the page that have issues. And then I can go to whatever tool I'm using as a designer and fix them right on the spot. And I also use other types of color blindness simulator and color contrast checkers, both as extensions and online tools. There is also something called supportive assistive technology, and here this includes voiceover, aka screen readers. So these are very important for those who complete loss of vision, for example. On Linux, you have Orca or Emacs Speak. On Mac, you have VoiceOver. And there are a bunch of others available on Windows. All of them are free. And if you really want to try it yourself and see how one of your users might feel, close your eyes and try sending an email using a screen reader. I challenge you. And please don't cheat. I can only tell that puts so much things into perspective. Also, if you are a developer, you can use a free and open source tool like Pally to run accessibility tests on your pages via the command line or Node.js. You can also automate your testing process with this and make it part of your CI workflow. It's very easy to install it locally, and it's a one line of command to run it. Right, looks and is in a way overwhelming. The more people I talk with or I discuss accessibility, they feel overwhelmed right from the start. They say, yeah, I started reading, but then I left it right there because there were so many things to know and so many places to start. And yeah, I had the same feeling when I firstly heard about accessibility. But then I started thinking, how can I approach things to change this and actually make an impact? And that is to take things one by one. So you can actually break it into smaller pieces. I would suggest, and I have an example following this, to start by auditing your project. Use one of the tools presented or others. There are a lot of other tools out there that you can use to see where your current project stands today. Identify main issues and then estimate time and effort required. You might even realize what you thought will take a lot of time actually takes just a matter of hours or days. You can create a plan, be it a roadmap, a prioritization matrix, or basically anything that works for you. And always, especially in this case, start small, like go after the low-hanging fruit. What's the easiest that you can actually fix even today? That way, you'll have the ball rolling. And lastly, because we are discussing on open source, involve your community. This is an amazing resource. You can test your interfaces with them. You can invite them to open accessibility-related tickets and so much more. And I was saying this is based on my experience, and this is something we are currently working on. So I started to discuss more with my team about accessibility and what we could be doing actually a few weeks back only. And I started by doing an audit. The table that you see here is based on real feature, and it took me like, I think only half an hour to do it. So I identified a lot of the errors using Wave. Color blindness for us was pretty okay, but we did have some color contrast issues. And unfortunately, our app completely lacks a good tab navigation or keyboard navigation. It's basically unusable, and we should admit it. So going to main issues that I took out of it, I was saying impossible to use the app with keyboard only, and that also makes it impossible to use with screen readers. We have some issues with structural elements, like page heading levels are sometimes skipped and missing something that is called page region or area landmarks that are used to identify significant page areas. On forms, we are also using a design system. We had issues with having some empty labels for switches, missing some field set and form labels. And then on the color contrast, in our case at least, we had the issues were code highlighting on inline editors. For example, the red on black had too low contrast, and this was for our dark team. Right, so let's go to actually try to fix it, right? The soon I had that audit done, I reached out to one of our front-end developers working on the same project as I were and asked him to help me to think of how much time it will take us to fix all this. So he said to define area landmarks depending on the feature. It can take up to 2 days. If to make sure the labels have drop-downs, button groups, and all that, probably 1 day, and to use proper level headings, another day. And for things, because our system is decoupled from the design system team, if we encountered issues coming from that part, we could at least open a GitHub issue and even assign it to ourselves if we think it's a small fix and we have the time. So all of this we can actually fix in under 1 week. When we said this, people started to get excited instead of being scared. Of course, then it's keyboard navigation. This is a lot harder to do, but still it can be from 1 week to 2 months, again, depending on the feature or area. And I wanted to go more in deep to tell you a bit what that entails. You might know that using keyboard navigation, it usually means to navigate via a tab key and maybe space and enter if you want to focus somewhere specifically. It also means to have a visible focus indicator to know where was the element that you currently selected on a page, right? And that you might already seen on any type of form that you might have filled. A focus indicator, for example, in an input, it's that border, which is usually blue depending on the browser, but it's mostly blue, that will tell you that, hey, this is where you're currently focusing in. But there's also something called persistent of focus. And it's essential that there is an active element or a focused element all time on a given page. As an example, if you have opened a modal window and you click it, you click the X button to close it, so the last thing in focus for you, it was that close button. But and that disappears from the page in the end. So in that case, we need to specify another active element. Maybe it can be the button that opened the window in the first place. Otherwise, the focus will go back at the beginning of the page and the user can be taken out of the flow. There's also predictability of movement, as most of us are going through a page from top to bottom and left to right, because that's how we are writing. We are writing from left to right. So we expect to move in a page following this pattern. And if by chance your elements are inverted in the background and user doesn't seem hip, you might jump all over the place and that will cause a great deal of confusion. And there's also an important aspect of avoiding keyboard traps. So you go tab by tab, from one element to another. But then at some point you might enter an input which has a multiple select and there's no way for you to go anywhere else except select elements in that input. And that's called a keyboard trap. And lastly, a thing called bypass blocks. So this is super important for, especially for navigation elements like menus. If you just entered a website and you want to go straight to a particular area on that page, you might not want to go through each element of the navigation bar. And because menus are often placed as first elements on the page, you'll have to go do a lot of tabs to reach your desired part. In that case, we can actually provide a skip to content link that's available on the screen. And this is actually a proposed improvement that I had, just to give you an example of what I could do as a designer to help developers understand what changes we need to make. So up until now, we did not have what's here, skip to main content part. You had to go to the entire menu. We were not highlighting menu elements that were in focus. And we were not highlighting elements that were behaving like actual links or buttons. So I just added some visual clues on those parts. Right, final step in our case, after all these changes are done, we want to test them with Pali, the tool I just presented. Our own keyboards, there is nothing for from skipping that part and voiceover tools as much as possible. Then get feedback from the community on the changes. We are very lucky because people in our community already raised their hands that are very glad to test. We have a lot of colorblind users happy to test. We even had potential new users who were almost 100% blind. And when they heard that we are doing these accessibility improvements, they were so eager to offer their help. And then keep learning, keep fixing, and write semantic HTML. Thank you for the time that you allocated for this. And now let's take some questions.